Many of us that have ever played the game Monopoly well remember the cards that we get to choose from the game, one of which says to us, get out of jail free. The cards we like to pick when we're in jail, we land on certain places, you know, we have to go to jail, or if we pick certain cards, it tells us to go to jail. But we get that card that says, get out of jail. Sort of like the state of all human beings when we're born. We're born imprisoned by sin and the sinful desires of the fleshly desires of the flesh. We're imprisoned by that until all of a sudden one day we choose a card named Jesus. It's the card in Monopoly that says, go directly to go, collect $200. So we go to start over again and we receive a blessing in the game. And the hope is that the next time around, you'll be more successful. You'll bypass jail, never to be imprisoned again. You'll collect more mansions, more properties, more rewards as you go along through the game. It's kind of like life itself, in terms of our living as sinners and overcomers in Jesus Christ. When we choose Christ and accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's like getting that card to go back to the beginning, back to where we started, and to receive the blessing that awaits us there. So we've been studying about these things in the book of Revelation that John wrote about in his vision. We learned two things. We learn where overcomers will be. As Revelation 21 tells us, they'll no longer be in jail. That's the place that awaits those who are not overcomers, those who are not in Christ. Revelation 21 calls it the fiery lake of sulfur, burning sulfur. We also learn now in Revelation 22 what will be provided for overcomers. That pass to go. What will be provided for the overcomers? What will be there? What won't be there? And the new relationship that overcomers will have with God. First of all, I want to review a little bit who is an overcomer? Who are the overcomers? The Bible consistently tells us the overcomers are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who will inherit all of the glory of God and dwell in the New Jerusalem in the presence of God and the Lamb. The overcomers are the followers of Jesus Christ that have overcome the teachings and the directions and the ways of the world. And it tells us that those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be in this new city that John saw. A new heaven and a new earth, a holy city in the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared beautifully like a bride. And that the dwelling of God would be with people then. And God says, he who overcomes will inherit all this. But now, we move inside the city. We know we have that heavenly hope that this is going to happen, because that's what John was saying here. This is what's coming up in the future. This is what the world's coming to. When God creates a new heaven and a new earth, because the old one is going to be done away with, God's going to provide a holy city, his city, where he will reside for eternity. But we say, what will be in the city? And we move into the city. As John says, the angel showed me the river of the water of life is clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. What will be in this city? First of all, we find there will be living water. There will be living water, food, and healing, and the throne of the God and the Lamb. This living water is the water of life. the Bible describes it. Remember the woman at the well that Jesus met and talked with? He asked her for a drink and she said, "Who am I to give you a drink? I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew." They didn't intermingle. Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's asking you for that drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water." You see, in the time of Jesus in Palestine and in the time of John, water was a valuable commodity. It was life. You needed water to survive. And in the water teemed all the refreshment and all the minerals needed to sustain life. We see that there was this tree. On each side of the river, the tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit. Some translations say 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. We see that God not only was providing refreshment, but He was providing nourishment for all eternity in the food that those who reside there will eat for all eternity. All kinds of fruit, every month, never to be without, never to hunger again. And we see there will be eternal healing. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. We say, well, now wait a second. Isn't everybody healed because they're going to be, the people that are going to be there, aren't they already healed? But we have to understand, first of all, the healing of the nations in John's writing would tell the readers, especially the Jewish audience to which he was writing, that this would be for the healing of all people, not just the Jews. Secondly, this word healing in the Greek original language is therapeia. Therapeia, it's where we start to get this concept of this word therapy, therapeutic. And we see that there in this beautiful city, as the river flows from the throne of God down the street of gold, and the tree of life is there providing food to eat always and forever, it's going to be a very therapeutic and beautiful place. A place of healing where we'll sit, we'll walk, we'll run, we'll dance, we'll sing. But it'll be a very therapeutic place of healing for us forever. And we see that the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. We see that God's throne will dwell there. That will be His dwelling place. It won't be any more division between us and God. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be there. Ezekiel saw the same thing in his vision as he wrote about the river flowing from the throne, the beautiful city, the throne of God and the Lamb in the beautiful city. In Psalm 46, the psalmist talks about a river whose streams make glad the city of God, talking about this holy city that these prophets saw long ago in these visions. And then we know that in this city there will be living water, there will be food, there will be healing, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be there. What won't be there in that city will be the curse, because no longer will there be any curse. Now, if you know anything about the original curse on the earth and on humanity, and the evidence would have been this was a beautiful place of gold, a therapeutic place of peace. No more sickness, no more crying, no more dying would have been the evidence that there's no curse. Because the curse that we're going to talk about here in a minute was on the earth. The curse of death. The curse that man would toil every day of his life to provide food for himself, so on and so forth. But that was gone. Gone. And we also see that there won't be any darkness. There'll be no more night. They'll not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. You see, there will be no darkness and there will be no lamps. No need for lamps, because God's glory will be in the city, shedding light on everything there. But most of all, and probably the greatest thing that I can't wait for myself, will be the new relationship with God that the people there will have. Verse 4 tells us, they will see His face and His name will be on their foreheads. Face to face with our Creator God. Face to face. Remember, to the Jew, this was unforbidden. This was forbidden, excuse me, for the Jew, that no one could see God's face and live. God was so holy that no one could see His face and live. Now, all of a sudden, John's saying, in this wonderful city that God's going to provide for all of His people who have overcome the world, we're going to be able to see Him face to face finally. He's going to provide everything we need for every day of our lives for all eternity. And nowhere in the book of Revelation or anywhere in the Bible do we read about any evidence of any virgins, of any thrones that we're going to set on as kings and queens, because we're not going to be kings and queens. We're going to be servants of God, but we are going to be allowed to sit on God's throne. The importance of this to the Jewish mind, who this was intended for, was to tell the Jew that we're going to be able to dwell with God someday, person to person, face to face, in the presence of God in this beautiful new Jerusalem, not the old one that's now so corrupted, but a new place. And this is important for us today, because the promise still stands today. As Jesus said many times to the churches, the seven churches in Revelation, to him who overcomes, let he who has an ear hear. To him who overcomes, I will give this, I will give this, I will give this, I will give this. Remember the Beatitudes when Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount? Blessed is the pure in heart, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. As I was studying through this and referred back to the Beatitudes, you can see Jesus spelling out the future for the people. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll inherit the earth. They'll inherit the kingdom of God. You start to see Jesus was promising to the people that this was all going to be theirs. It's God's promise of providence to us. In Revelation chapter 2, He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. To him who overcomes, I'll grant to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. In Revelation chapter 3, he who overcomes, I'll grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. It's Jesus speaking to John. God speaks in Revelation chapter 21. He said to me, it's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. This will be the place of celebration and partying, not hell, as so many people think. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus talks about a rich man and Lazarus, and they both died. One went to Hades. One went to be with Abraham in Abraham's bosom. And they could see each other. And the one in Hades, in the fiery lake, sulfur, begged and begged to have a drop of water to refresh him from that fountain, that flow of the water of life, to refresh him, to cool his tongue. And Jesus said, no, no, it's finished. There's no crossing over. What is done is done. want you to think about something a little bit. So turn back to the second chapter of Genesis. This all started coming to my mind as I was reading over the 22nd chapter of Revelation this past week. I want you to see if you can make any connections here. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden, and from there it was separated into four headwaters. And he talks about those headwaters. Now the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 3, the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all wild animals. You'll crawl on your belly, you'll eat dust all the days of your life." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you'll eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles. You'll eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you'll eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." You see, when we enter into that new Jerusalem, that holy, beautiful city, we are returning to go. We're coming back to the beginning. We're coming back to Eden, but this time, rather than being in a garden, we're going to be in a city. And there will be no more curse. That curse will be gone. There will be no more toil and sweat, no more suffering, no more pain. And no longer will the enemy be allowed to be in our presence. When the world comes to an end, the sheep are separated from the goats. Overcomers inherit the heavenly kingdom of God. And those who have turned away from God are thrown into the lake of fire. Death and hell are no more. God makes all things new, including the heavens and the earth, complete with a holy city, a dwelling place for Him, His Son, and His people. Those who received Him, I'm going to back up a second because I don't want you to miss this. God makes all things new, including the heavens and the earth, complete with a holy city, a dwelling place for God, His Son, and His people, His children. Let's go from there. John also wrote, "Those who received Him, who believed in His Son, He gave the right to become His children." Those who received Him, who believed in His Son, will start again. They'll be out of jail forever and ever. They'll return to God to go. They'll receive their rewards. They'll enjoy many mansions along the way. In fact, they will have a monopoly on the city, having all their needs met, because there will no longer be anything that is not of God. What a great promise and blessing the Lord has for us. What a great song. "When I shall reach that happy place, I'll be forever blessed, for I shall see my Father's face and in His bosom rest. For I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land." I want to close with a few thoughts from Scripture. First of all, from Isaiah chapter 53. "All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." From Romans chapter 3, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Also from Romans 3, "As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one." but also from Isaiah chapter 1. And this is the hope that we live with as followers of Jesus Christ. The Lord says, come now. Come now. Come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they'll be like wool. And from John himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world should be saved through him. What's the world coming to? It's coming to a point where we're going to be back where we started, in a beautiful place, a beautiful city of perfection, in the presence of God. Will be our Eden for all eternity. That is, if you're an overcomer. Let's pray. God our Father, your book is full of warnings. It's not sugar-coated. It's not something that man came up with. It's your word, inspired into the hearts and minds and pens of the writers. But also your word is full of hope and promise for us, that there is a way to dwell in this heavenly, holy, eternal city for all eternity. It's not for our benefit, it's for your glory, that we'll be there someday in Christ Jesus, praising our Savior all the day long. Lord our God, as we're bound for the promised land, the journey's rough, it seems long at times, and it seems even hopeless sometimes. May we fix our eyes on things above, not on things on the earth, and remember this holy city that awaits us, a city of refreshment, of living water, of life, of healing, but best of all, a city where we will be present with you, face to face, forever and ever. Amen. As we close this morning, let's stand, turning to 733.